The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and I'll be reading to you from Ladies Magazines, Better Homes and Gardens, Good Housekeeping, Martha Stewart Living, Real Simple, and Woman's Day, and Sample Magazine, Millie, Your Money, Your Life, which I'll start with here. Staff Picks Takeover. Tracy Thomas, host of the Stacks podcast, shares her list of must-read books and highlights the importance of black female authors. In the Stacks, I use books to discuss our cultural understanding of race, gender, politics, and what it means to be alive. Of course, the podcast is also a place where I can simply gush over my latest reads and beloved authors. It's especially important to me to read and discuss books by black authors, as these are often overlooked, underpublished, and removed from the greater conversation of American literature. I celebrate books by black authors because I know we are experts on things other than race and can tell great stories. I also know that black women are the most likely demographic to read a book, even if black female authors aren't published at a rate that reflects that fact. So here's a list of incredible books by black women. Most of them are brand new, but I threw in two of my all-time favorites for good measure. They are Sula and Men We Reaped, when we get to them. The first one is Men We Reaped by Jesmyne Ward, W-A-R-D. In her memoir, Ward recounts the five-year stretch throughout which five young men in her life died. In reckoning with these tragic losses, she continues to ask why, and uncovers that these deaths weren't merely coincidences, but rather part of the systemic oppression that follows young, underprivileged black men. The book is as beautiful as it is devastating, and in it, Ward proves why she is one of our greatest living writers. Next, Mediocre, The Dangerous Legacy of White Male America, by Ijeoma Olu, O-L-O-U. Every person of color has been faced with a white male counterpart who is less knowledgeable, less accomplished, and less skilled, but somehow still holds more power and reverence and has a bigger salary. Olu's book breaks down the history of the mediocre white man, the ways this mediocrity has hurt women and femmes, people of color, and even white men themselves, and imagines what it could mean to live in an America where this white male identity is void of sexism and racism. Next, The Secret Lives of Church Ladies by Disha Filiaw, P-H-I-L-Y-A-W. This collection of short stories is a glimpse into the lives of Southern black women of faith. Filiaw is imaginative, daring, and unapologetically black with the stories she tells. Each one feels like a bit of gossip you might pick up from your favorite auntie after Sunday service, and the characters are titillating, hilarious, and unique. Nothing is off limits here. And some other recommendations, Memorial Drive by Natasha Trethewey, T-R-E-T-H-E-W-E-Y, Grown by Tiffany D. Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-O-N, Sula by Toni Morrison, M-O-R-R-I-S-O-N, Black Futures by Kimberly Drew, D-R-E-W, and Jenna Wortham, W-O-R-T-H-A-M. The Office of Historical Corrections by Danielle Evans, E-V-A-N-S. Wow, No Thank You by Samantha Irby, I-R-B-Y. The Beauty in Breaking by Michelle Harper, H-A-R-P-E-R. And then we have some podcasts. Since I'm a podcaster, here are three great podcasts hosted by inspiring black women. Yo, Is This Racist? Tawny Newsom, N-E-W-S-O-M, and Andrew T., T-I, answer questions from fans' submitted voicemails and emails about whether or not something is, in fact, racist. And one called Still Processing. That's Jenna Wortham, W-O-R-T-H-A-M, and Wesley Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S, of the New York Times. They devour TV shows, movies, art, music, and the internet to find the things that move them to tears and even anger. And what a day! Comedian Akila Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S, and reporter Gideon Resnick, R-E-S-N-I-C-K, break down the biggest news of the day and share the important stories you might have missed, all in just 15 minutes. From Good Housekeeping, your pet's health checklist. Expert advice on how to keep Fluffy and Fido in tip-top shape. First, daily. Clean their teeth. Brushing pets' teeth doesn't just keep bad breath at bay. Periodontal disease can be debilitating. Ideally, you should brush your teeth daily, their teeth daily, starting when they're babies, says Heidi Cooley, a doctor of veterinary medicine of Banfield Pet Hospital. If brushing that often isn't feasible, ask your vet to recommend dental diets, treats, toys, or other ways to mitigate plaque between brushings. If your pet's gums are red and swollen, visit the vet. Bacteria from gum disease can infect the internal organs and cause death eventually. Weekly, look in their ears. Some dogs with floppy ears, curly fur, or allergies are prone to infection and should get their ears inspected more often. But all need their ears checked at least weekly. Look for redness, dark discharge, thickening skin, or an unpleasant odor that could indicate an infection, says Jason Nicholas, veterinarian and pet safety advocate. If your pet does a lot of swimming or bathing or gets frequent infections, ask your vet to recommend an at-home dryer/cleaner product. Every few weeks, trim their nails. A dog who walks on concrete daily or a cat who uses a scratching post may not need their nails cut as often. But if you hear clicking when they walk, it's time. Do it every 2 to 3 weeks to prevent splitting and breaking and painful ingrown nails, Cooley says. A pet who seems nervous or aggressive when you touch their feet should be seen by an expert. Monthly, feel for changes. Every 30 days or so, run your hands and eyes over them carefully, Nicholas advises. Look for new lumps and bumps, and note if any existing ones have grown or changed. Feel for enlarged lymph nodes or any tender spots. Only a biopsy can show whether a new lump is benign or cancerous, so bring any issues to your vet's attention. And at least yearly, get a checkup. All pets, even exotic ones like birds and guinea pigs, need annual checkups. That allows the vet to assess your pet and help ensure their best health, or pick up on any problems before they progress. Earlier detection and intervention is always better and often less expensive. Pets with chronic health conditions like diabetes, obesity, and kidney disease should visit a vet more often. Puppies and kittens should see one every 3 to 4 weeks, from around the age of 8 weeks until they're 16 to 20 weeks old. Senior pets should go every 6 months or so. Ask your vet how often they need to see your pet. From Better Homes and Gardens, how green is your kitchen routine? Cutting back on water, electricity, gas, and disposable items makes your kitchen more eco-friendly. Excuse me. Use your checklist to assess our checklist to assess your cooking and cleanup habits and discover how being greener will save you some green. My fridge lives up to its cooling potential. The fridge should be full but not stuffed, and the coils free of dust. Avoid storing piping hot food, and though the savings are nominal, it can't hurt to obey Dad's edict. Don't stand too often with the door open. And this is just a checklist. That's why they sound like statements. There's a little check, a box you can check off beside each one. I clean safely. It's wise to check labels on cleaning products for what the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency calls signal words. Danger indicates the most harmful formulas, followed by warning and caution. To learn about its Safer Choice seal, see epa.gov/safer-choice. For other terminology, go to ewg.org/guides and click on Label Decoder. More than 1,600 gallons of water, that's the waste a faucet leaking one drip per second can cause in 1 year. Yikes. Next, I plan meals that conserve cooking energy. Batch cooking, one-pot meals, and thawing meat in the fridge instead of the microwave reduce appliance use. Other simple energy savers, match the pot size to the burner and avoid opening the oven door while cooking. Using a lid lets you lower the burner temperature. Next, I wash dishes efficiently. An energy-efficient dishwasher combined with conscientious hand washing is best for cost savings and low environmental impact. Follow these best practices. In the sink, scrape plates, soak and scrub them in hot, suzzy water, then dip in clean, cool water. In the dishwasher, run a full load at an off-peak time, like bedtime, and skip the heated, dry option. As an aside, 44% of people say they reduced food waste last year while spending more time at home. Well, that's good news. Next, I avoid unnecessary packaging. These shopping habits cut down on trash and save money. Reduce the number of packages you buy over time by choosing large packages of cereal, pastas, and spices, then decanting them into reusable containers at home. Bring your own store-approved containers to buy foods like dried grains in bulk. Use mesh cloth bags for fruits and vegetables, and think twice about produce that's shrink-wrapped or in plastic containers. Beyond its disposable wrappings, pre-cut produce is expensive and can have reduced nutritional value. Next, I prefer reusable containers. Glass containers with airtight lids remain one of the best ways to store leftovers. Other ways to avoid single-use storage: beeswax wrap for a tight seal on a bowl, hand wash and reuse. $30 for a 14 by 52 inch cut-to-fit roll. Available beeswrap.com. Silicone bags. A bag that can be heated or chilled, it stands up and zips closed. $10 to $13 each at ziptop.com. And stainless steel. Lightweight, unbreakable, and nestable when empty. $22 for a set of three in various sizes at wesprout.com. Next, I repurpose what I can and recycle the rest. Pinterest is filled with ideas for glass jars, like creating terrariums and refrigerating herbs in water. And those jars come free with your purchase of pickles, salsa, and spaghetti sauce. Minimizing what's in your trash can and your recycling bin is the fastest track to zero waste living. I feed the soil. Think of composting as operating your own little recycling center. That pile of organic material you create over time by combining food scraps with yard waste allows you to buy less topsoil and fertilizer for your yard and garden. It's good for your soil, and you've helped reduce the methane that food creates in landfills. How green are you? They have three shades of green here. Lime. Only a few check marks, that's okay. You're off to a good start. Commit to one new idea today. If you're Kelly Green, you're halfway there. Don't stop now. Challenge yourself to up your green game as you lower your utility bill and reduce kitchen waste. And if you're Forest Green, great job. Your kitchen is set. What's the next room you're ready to tackle? From Real Simple, my simple realization: help in its many forms can yield bountiful fruits. Rigid Ransom Washington, that's WASHINGTON, thought she could care for two babies and cook meals from scratch. Then a new friend showed up with a tray of pasta. Not too long ago, my husband, then 2-year-old, and I were separated from our orderly life by a string of fitful events: a job loss, a book deal, and an unplanned pregnancy. The book deal I'd waited almost 2 years to secure seemingly arrived at the exact moment the pregnancy test strip turned pink. My Jamaican physics PhD husband had just lost his well-paying tech job and his skilled worker's visa along with it. I'll never forget waddling my massively pregnant way into U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services and explaining to a kind government official that our marriage was as real and raw as they come. Months later, a series of significant deliveries were made. A healthy baby girl topped the list. A green card. blessedly another job offer for my husband, and I delivered my cookbook to my publisher. We finally exhaled. Less than a week after my C-section, I wanted to cook again. I missed the food, yes, but also the process, the calypso music I'd play in the kitchen, the aromas that hugged our home. I convinced myself it would be best for everyone if I cooked, but reality has a way of asserting itself. My recovery was painful. A newish mom friend, Jessica, offered to bring me a meal. Typically, I'd politely decline such a gesture from a friend I only loosely knew, but my depletion was too real. She arrived a couple of hours later with flowers, pre-cut fruit, and a tray of Costco ravioli lasagna that seemed to weigh more than our newborn. I looked at it with doubt in my eyes, thinking, what is this uncommon combination of cheese? But as soon as that judgy thought took hold, both the baby and the toddler started to fuss. Mystery cheese and tomato sauce it would be. I slid the tray into the oven, and as it came to temp, I felt the emotional salve that comes from accepting help. A meal doesn't need to be handmade to make me feel whole. In that moment, I learned to be gentle with myself and embrace the good enough, because I was the only one wagging a finger at me. From that tray of pasta, a core value emerged. Help, in its many forms, when genuinely offered and honestly accepted, can yield exceptionally bountiful fruits. Nowadays, I buy at least one Costco-prepared food item and gift it to our elderly neighbor, who lives alone. It's a continuum I'm honored to embrace, and Jessica has become one of my treasured friends. And this by Bridget Ransom Washington, author of Coconut Ginger Shrimp Rum. From Good Housekeeping, we've got some good recipes here for you. Warm pizza dip, 10 minutes active time and 30 total. 8 ounces cream cheese at room temperature. 1/2 cup sour cream. 1 clove of garlic grated. 3/4 teaspoon dried oregano. 1 pinch of red pepper flakes. Kosher salt. 6 ounces mozzarella cheese, coarsely grated, divided. 1/2 cup grated parmesan, divided. 1 1/4 cups pizza or marinara sauce. 2 ounces mini pepperoni slices. And 1 baguette. Warmed and sliced. Heat oven to 400 degrees. In medium bowl, combine cream cheese, sour cream, garlic, oregano, red pepper flakes, and 1/2 teaspoon salt. Fold in 1 cup mozzarella and all but 2 tablespoons of the parmesan. Transfer mixture to a shallow 1-quart baking dish. Top with pizza sauce. Sprinkle with remaining mozzarella and parmesan. Then pepperoni. Bake until bubbling and cheese begins to brown about 15 minutes. Broiling to 1 to 2 minutes if needed. Let it rest 5 minutes before serving. Serve with baguette slices for dipping. And this serves 8. As a dip tip, want to give each person their own? Divide the mixture before you put it in the oven among 8 4-ounce ramekins. Then place on a rimmed baking sheet for easier handling. Bake till bubbling, 12 to 15 minutes. How about make-ahead egg and cheese sandwiches? Active and total time, only 10 minutes. This is a breakfast item. 4 large eggs, kosher salt and pepper, 1 tablespoon olive oil, 4 English muffins, toasted, 2 ounces extra sharp cheddar cheese, coarsely grated, 2 cups baby spinach, 4 thin slices of ham, optional. In a medium bowl, beat eggs with 1 tablespoon water and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Heat oil in large nonstick skillet on medium. Add eggs and cook, stirring with rubber spatula every few seconds to the desired doneness, 2 to 3 minutes if you want medium soft eggs. Spoon onto the bottom half of each muffin and top with cheese, spinach, and the ham if you're using it. Top with the remaining muffin half. This serves 4. And a little extra here, you can wrap prepared sandwiches in a damp paper towel, then in foil. Place in the freezer bags and freeze for up to a month. When you're ready to cook, remove only the foil and microwave 1 minute. flip and microwave another 30 seconds to 1 minute. So you can make them ahead. And how about beef, barbecue beef mashed potato pie? Active time, 25 minutes. Total time is 30. 2 pounds yellow potatoes peeled and cut into 2-inch pieces, kosher salt and pepper, 4 tablespoons olive oil divided, 1 large onion chopped, 1.5 pounds lean ground beef, 4 plum tomatoes seeded and diced, 1/2 cup ketchup, 2 tablespoons cider vinegar, 1 tablespoon Dijon mustard, 1 tablespoon molasses, 1 tablespoon Worcestershire sauce. Place potatoes in a large pot, add cold water to cover, and bring to a boil. Add 1 teaspoon salt and simmer until tender, 15 to 18 minutes. Reserve 1/4 cup of the cooking liquid, then drain the potatoes and return them to the pot. Mash with 3 tablespoons oil, 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper, and 2 tablespoons reserved cooking liquid, adding more liquid if necessary. Meanwhile, heat remaining 2 tablespoons oil in a large skillet on medium. Add onion and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Cook covered, stirring occasionally until tender, about 8 minutes. Heat broiler. Add beef to the onion and cook, breaking up until no longer pink, 5 to 6 minutes. Spoon off the fat. Add tomatoes and cook, stirring occasionally, 4 minutes. In a bowl, whisk together ketchup, vinegar, mustard, molasses, and Worcestershire. Add to the beef and cook, stirring, 1 minute further. Transfer the mixture to a 2-quart broiler-proof baking dish and top with the potatoes. Broil until beginning to brown, 2 to 4 minutes. And this serves 6. Here's a beverage for you, Easy Maple Horchata. Active time and total time are 5 minutes. Whisk together 1 cup unsweetened rice milk, 1 teaspoon each maple syrup and pure vanilla extract, and 1/4 teaspoon ground cinnamon. Serve over ice and sprinkle with more cinnamon, and this serves 1. And a little tip for you fish lovers. You can roast fish in paper pouches to steam it with no fuss. Here's how. Sandwich your ingredients between 2 square pieces of parchment paper. Fold each edge up and over 3 times. Fold each corner, then, under itself to create a seal that will remain intact while the packet is in the oven. How about that? And we've got a spinach and artichoke baked pasta dish. Active time, 25 minutes. Total time is 30. We need 12 ounces short pasta, such as orecchiette or mezze rigatoni, 1 tablespoon olive oil, 1 large onion, finely chopped, kosher salt and pepper, 4 cloves garlic, finely chopped, 3/4 cup low-fat sour cream, 4 ounce reduced-fat cream cheese at room temperature, 2 ounces Parmesan, grated, 1/2 cup. 2 teaspoons grated lemon zest, plus 1 tablespoon lemon juice. A 10-ounce package of frozen leaf spinach, thawed and squeezed of excess moisture. And that takes a while to get all that moisture out. 1 13.5-ounce can artichoke hearts, rinsed, squeezed of excess moisture, and chopped. And 4 ounces mozzarella cheese, shredded, or about 1 cup. Divided. Cook pasta per package directions. Reserve 1/2 cup cooking water, then drain the pasta. Meanwhile, heat oil in a large skillet on medium. Add onion and 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper and cook covered, stirring occasionally until tender, 8 to 10 minutes. Add garlic and cook stirring 1 minute. Heat broiler. In a large bowl, combine sour cream, cream cheese, Parmesan, lemon zest, and lemon juice. Stir in the onion mixture. Add pasta to the bowl and toss to coat. Stir in spinach, artichokes, and 1/4 cup pasta cooking water adding more if the pasta seems dry. Fold in 1/2 cup mozzarella. Transfer pasta mixture to broiler-proof 2.5 to 3-quart casserole dish. Sprinkle with remaining 1/2 cup mozzarella and broil until golden brown, 3 to 5 minutes. And this serves 8. And here's a tasty snack for game day, cheesy jalapeno pretzel bites. Active time is 20 minutes. Total time is 30. We need 1 tablespoon olive oil, 3 jalapenos, seeded and finely chopped, kosher salt, 24 soft pretzel bites, or about 8 ounces. We use Pretzilla. 4 ounces of cream cheese at room temperature, 1/2 teaspoon finely grated lemon zest plus 1 tablespoon lemon juice, a dash of hot sauce, 1 ounce of extra sharp cheddar cheese, coarsely grated or about 1/3 cup, plus more for sprinkling, 1 scallion finely chopped plus more for sprinkling. Heat oven to 400. Line a baking sheet with parchment paper. Heat oil in medium skillet on medium. Add jalapenos and 1/4 teaspoon salt and cook, stirring occasionally until just tender, about 2 minutes, remove from heat. Meanwhile, using a paring knife and working at an angle, remove the top of each pretzel, leaving a 1-inch opening. Using your thumb, push in and around to press down some of the pretzel and create a larger opening. Basically, you're making it hollow. In a bowl, combine cream cheese, lemon zest and juice, and hot sauce. Fold in the jalapenos, cheddar, and scallions. Transfer to a resealable plastic bag. Snip off a corner of the bag and squeeze mixture into each pretzel to fill. Transfer to the prepared baking sheet. Sprinkle with additional cheese and bake until cheese melts, 5 to 6 minutes. Sprinkle with scallions before serving if desired, and this makes 24 pretzel bites. From Good Housekeeping, question, whenever I try to make pizza at home, it never seems to turn out right. Help. Answer, don't be so hard on yourself. Here are a few tools and tricks that can help you perfect your pie. First, I suggest buying pre-made dough from your local supermarket, bakery, or pizzeria. It'll save you a lot of time. When ready to cook, place a baking stone or steel on your oven's top rack and preheat to 500 degrees or its highest temperature. While it heats, allow dough to come to room temp. Lightly flour the surface where you'll shape the dough. Then stretch and push, never roll, the dough to the desired size. Dust a pizza peel, a big spatula, that's used to transfer pizzas in and out of the oven, with cornmeal and place the dough on top. Build your pie. Add less sauce than you might think, and then sprinkle with cheese and other toppings. Slide pizza onto the hot stone or steel and cook till crust is golden brown. Use the peel again to remove the pizza from the oven. Place it on a cooling rack so the bottom won't get soggy. When it's cool enough to touch, transfer to a cutting board and slice with a pizza cutter or a chef's knife. Well, you hear it. We're out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latchaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138.